You are listening to a divine service.
Or a lecture.
Or a sermon.
Or a performance.
Or a podcast.
Or something else.
From St. Vladimir Orthodox Church.
Join us soon in person.
Just Google St. Vladimir Ann Arbor.
On our website, you will find our full schedule of services.
And a lot more.
Find us on Facebook.
Or on Vkontakte. Yeah.
Or follow us on Twitter.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
But most importantly,
please know that you are always welcome at St. Vladimir's.
Enjoy this audio presentation of St. Vladimir's Church, and please join us in person soon.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is risen.
Christos Christos
Anesti. Brothers and sisters, for the first couple of weeks after Pascha itself, we continue to celebrate in a way that is directly connected with the feast. The week after Pascha was Thomas Sunday. 2 weeks afterwards, we celebrated the myrrh-bearing women and Joseph and Nicodemus. Today, we hear a gospel reading that is not directly connected with the Lord's resurrection, but is always placed here during this Pentecost time, that time between Pascha and Pentecost, for our edification. I think it's very important that we look at it carefully, because there is an understanding that certainly, just as everyone would come to church every Sunday of Great Lent, so too, when the feast comes, would everyone be in the church. Therefore, these readings that are appointed at this time are of special interest to us, because the Holy Fathers have appointed them here, understanding that everyone needs to hear them, and needs to hear them every year. Today we see our Lord in Jerusalem. He is near the temple. He is in a place where there is a sheep pool. And we don't use a lot of sheep pools in our time, so it's hard for us to imagine exactly what this might be. Well, the sheep were sacrificed in the temple. But they first had to be washed. They first had to be cleaned before they could be taken into the temple for the sacrifice. This place, this sheep pool, is kind of a foreshadowing of baptism. It has a sort of sacramental character to it. And so that God could very strongly in man's hearts prepare them for this baptism of all men, there is a special miracle that took place here every year. Once a year, and it must not have been on the same day every year, because otherwise everybody would be ready. It must have been on a more random character. An angel would descend from heaven and stir the waters, and the first person who could get into the water after that would be healed of every disease, any disease that they had. It's the church's understanding that this was the Archangel Michael who did this, and last night, if you were present for the vigil, you heard that there was a special canon that was read to the Archangel Michael along with the Paschal canon and the canon of the Sunday of the Paralytic. There are two really important, really, really important messages for us here, brothers and sisters. Let's look at the first. This man that the Lord healed was laying by the sheep pool for 38 years. 38 years. Many of the people who are here, I would actually, just taking a quick look here, we have a rather young crowd today, I would say that the majority of those who are here have not even been on this earth for 38 years. So it's very hard for us to even grasp how long did this man suffer with this ailment, this paralysis that he had. Because somehow they knew when the water would stir. So it wasn't like a little ripple. It must have been really a big, big splashy kind of thing. But he couldn't get there fast enough. For 38 years, he couldn't get to the water fast enough. The healing was there, but he couldn't get to it. And so he cursed God, and he died. No, that's not exactly, in fact, that's not what happened at all. I just wanted to see if you were paying attention. He trusted God. He trusted that God would heal him, that eventually this would get taken care of. He didn't lose faith in God. And this is the first and most important message, I think, that we have here today. Brothers and sisters, we want what we want when we want it. We want it to happen right away. So I prayed to God two times. Why don't I have what I want? 38 years. Next time, when you're thinking, oh, why don't I have what I need? How come this hasn't been taken care of yet? Think of this icon. this man carrying his bed after 38 years. Can you imagine how excited he must have been? How he felt after having laid there for 38 years. 38 times that water was mixed up and he couldn't get there. And then, because of his trust in God, he was vouchsafed to be healed by God himself. So brothers and sisters, it is very important for us, living in our fast food society as we do, to understand that that's not usually the schedule that God works on. God works on his schedule. He doesn't work on our schedule. That's very inconvenient for us. We have certain things that we need to get done, and we need God to kind of, you know, like, respond when we want it. But you see, for those who are parents, you understand exactly why that doesn't happen. If every time your child snapped its finger at you and said, "Give me candy," you gave the child candy, what kind of monster would you have? Even when we don't do that, they're kind of monsters, but that's a different sermon. The point of the matter is that God will not spoil us, just like we will not spoil our own children if we are good parents. And so we need to learn to wait. That's not easy. Living as we do in a time when we can get anything we want basically on Amazon within 24 hours, at most, if we don't want to just drive to the store and get it. So brothers and sisters, spiritual patience is a very important thing for us. And the Holy Church gives us this gospel to remind us of that, to be patient. But moreover, brothers and sisters, who is a paralytic? We talk a lot about how the church is a spiritual hospital. And I really like that metaphor. I think it's very apt for what we are trying to do. We are trying to be healed of our spiritual diseases. And those who are the most sick are those who deny that they have any disease whatsoever. We all, brothers and sisters, have some sort of paralysis. Or maybe I am just projecting my paralysis on you. Maybe it is true that everyone reads their prayers every morning and every evening. Everyone is reading the Holy Scriptures every day. Everyone is giving to the poor without hesitation. Everyone is serving their neighbor, only thinking of the best for others and never thinking about oneself. If we don't do that, brothers and sisters, we're paralyzed, at least on some level. I don't say everyone doesn't do any of that. I just say that I doubt that every single one of us is living without some sort of spiritual paralysis. Now, it is true that the cure in that regard is our Lord. Our Lord cured the paralytic. But the paralytic wasn't just laying around not doing anything. He was trying to get to that pool. And a very important part of our cure, brothers and sisters, is taking ourselves by the scruff of the neck and saying, "Don't be so lazy, open your prayer book. Don't be so lazy, get in the car and go to church. Don't be so lazy, help that person. Don't be so proud, humble yourself." We can't just sit around and say, "God, I want to do good, and I'm sure that if just by that desire alone, you will help me to be humble, and you will help me to feed the poor and clothe the sick and give those who are thirsty drink, and you will help me to live a miraculous spiritual life, and I will walk on water." And if you think that that's true, brothers and sisters, we need to have a little talk, because that's not how it works. Especially in the Orthodox Church, of all of the Christian confessions, spiritual struggle is part and parcel of what we need to do. And that's not spiritual struggle tomorrow. That's spiritual struggle now. We need, all of us, to walk out from this church when we go away and decide that we're not going to take these excuses that we are so good at making up. Self-justification is something we are excellent at, all of us. I can say that without hesitation, I think. We're all very good at that. "Oh, I could say my prayers, but there's something else more important for me to do. I could read spiritual books to my children, but I have something more important to do. I could pray with my husband. I have something more important to do." You know that other thing that's important to do? Is that going to get you to the heavenly kingdom? That is the one and only criterion that we should be using. And if no, then it gets thrown away. And we do what we should do. You see, brothers and sisters, the Lord is long-suffering. He loves us. He is a parent to us. But what does he want for us? Riches and wealth and homes, right? No. Salvation. Salvation. And the only way that that's going to happen is if we are part of that. The Lord only can give that, but we have to work for it. So, brothers and sisters, let's understand that there is a synergy that is happening here. We make a sincere struggle. The Lord blesses that with his grace, and we are successful. But the only place that success comes before work is in the dictionary. It sure doesn't happen in the spiritual life. Work. Pray to God. Then we will have success. So, brothers and sisters, let's decide that today is a day when we are healed from our paralysis. Or at least when we decide to start taking the cure and stop running from it. That we will engage. That we will make a sincere effort. And that we will understand that we probably won't have to wait 38 years to receive our healing. But we might have to wait more than 38 minutes. This is a process. We need to struggle. And if we do it, brothers and sisters, then we stop messing around and thinking about, oh, salvation this and salvation this. We start to do it. We can't save ourselves. Only God can save us with his grace. But we need to work for it. If we do that, brothers and sisters, then today is a day for us of great rejoicing. We will leap and sing like the paralytic carrying his bed around Jerusalem on the Sabbath. Maybe we will be questioned by the scribes and Pharisees. Why are you leaping and jumping and carrying around a bed? I'm not telling you you should carry a bed. This is all a metaphor. But we need to engage in that way, just as he did. He did the best with what he had, and he received his healing. If we do the best with what we have, so can we. May the Lord grant this to all of us. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio production of St. Vladimir Orthodox Church in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Please join us in person soon. To learn more about our parish, please visit our website, stva2.org. That's S as in Sam, T as in Tom, V as in Victor, A as in Apple, the number 2.org. See you soon at St. Vladimir's.